Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, Chief Trainer Mike, and joining me once again, as always, is Mr. Dave Draper. Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm a little tardy, but alive, so there's so that.
This isn't school, thank you.
I know, but not, still, I mean...
Yeah. You're not going to get a ruler, you know, smacked across your hand.
No, but like there's courtesy costs you nothing, and being late is not courteous, and I apologize.
Eh, it's no big deal. I don't even know if this podcast is going to be on time. I don't know if this is coming out in 2024 or 2025, folks. So depending on when you hear this, we're either going to be in the future or in the past. And we're not even talking about Back to the Future, which is 40 years old next year. Holy crap. Yeah, but today...
I think there's more time between... there's more time between us and Back to the Future than there was Back to the Future and the 50s, when he goes back to the time that he traveled.
Yeah, 85 to 55 is 30 years.
We've lapped the future world that Marty goes to in part two.
Yep, I think the whole thing about Back to the Future's time periods is outside of 1885... it's like 30 years. I'm 44 and you're whatever.
I'm 50 minus one, so I'm gonna be 54 next year. A couple of weeks.
Oh, that's right.
My birthday's in January.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you. I saw a great Facebook meme about like someone got a crummy cake and it was like welcome to your birthday in December. It sucks. I'm like, January's not that much better. Now, January's kind of worse because, like, then it's like you've got your stuff already. What are you complaining about?
Yeah, that's right. And then for me, because mine's in February, so you got your shit at Christmas. Now you're going to get your birthday shit along with whatever Valentine's crap, even
though. At least you get something!
Well, yeah.
I've literally told the story about my parents. Apparently, when I was a little kid, my parents would take half my Christmas loot and hide it and then give it back to me on my birthday. My birthday present was like getting the rest of my Christmas presents.
Yeah. That was, it's always crazy when you have birthdays around gift-giving holidays. Today, folks, we are facing the alien invasion on the block. And this
Attack
ain't
the
about,
block, yeah. Oh,
and this ain't about new kids because this is Attack the Block. Now, when you first suggested this to me, I thought you said Attack of the Block. Or
I did. I have always gotten that name. No, but the thing is, I may have said that because I keep getting, like, until this time, and I was paying attention, I always get the name confused. Like, Attack the Block, you know.
From the Block. Yeah, well, when you first told me, I was like, okay, I'm searching for this. And my first two thoughts were, there's no new kids.
No.
And this is not Attack of the Show from the old G4 days.
No.
That's an alien, bruv. Believe it. And I landed in the wrong place, though. You get the wrong place.
Welcome to London, motherfucker.
Well done, lads. He discovered a species hitherto unknown to science.
Believe.
Maybe there was a party at the zoo and a monkey fucked a fish.
Yo, check it.
More.
More what?
Them tings. Lovely fireworks.
Mommy, it's an alien invasion.
Of course it is.
I'm killing them straight. Let's get tooled up, blood.
Quite sweet, really, aren't they?
Oh, that's different. That ain't even the same thing.
That looks triple the size blood.
Everyone run, run!
We need to get off the streets. Back in the block.
What kind of alien would invade some shitty council estate in South London?
One that's looking for a fight.
What is that?
I mean, to be fair, both the block is attacked and the block attacks back. So my confusion was understandable.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So this was your pick?
This was my pick. I know.
Did you choose this movie?
First of all, I think it's a good film. Like, I know in retrospect, I know you don't like scary movies of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like slasher films and that kind of stuff. I do like monster movies.
Monster, yeah.
And this also had the catch was it was John Boyega's like big breakout role.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of why I really recommended it, because I thought he was amazing in this film.
Yeah.
Would you at least give me that John Boyega was good in this film?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
And, like, if you saw this film first and hadn't seen the sequel trilogy, you would be excited for John Boyega to be in that. Like, because that was the thing. It's like, the narrative is, oh, Star Wars fans found out there was a black person in their Star Wars movie who wasn't Billy Dee Williams. They were angry. I was like, dude, I was fist pumping. I was like, yes!
Yeah.
Moses is in this film!
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they did nothing with him and treated him like garbage. Boo.
I hope he gets more work in the future.
I do too.
I hope he gets better work in the future.
That would be hard.
I'm just saying, like,
I'm being facetious. That would be difficult. That's a low bar to set.
Yeah.
Than Finn in the later two films, at least.
Well, normally we go through the plot first, folks, but I'm already on John Boyega's filmography, and it's short. Literally,
he's 20 something? He's a kid.
Oh, how old he is? He is.
You mean in the movie? Okay.
He's 32. Born in 92. Oh,
but that was like. The Star Wars films are like a decade old now.
Well, yeah.
The sequel trilogy was 2015.
Yeah, and that means it'll be 10 years old next year. Or this year, whenever you're hearing this, because I don't know
whenever you're hearing this.
About in 2024.
Dude, there's like 3 days left in 2024. Don't be.
I know. Well, you know.
Like, he was 22 when he made the sequel trilogy, which means he was young. Because it's kind of a spoiler, not a spoiler alert, but it's a twist in Attack of the Block, is the character is much, much younger than you think he is.
Yeah.
Which is one of those amazing things. Like, he's. So, okay, do you want to talk about Boyega's career, or do you want to talk about the film?
Yeah, let's, since we're already on Boyega, let's talk about him. Okay. So, this was his film debut. Attack the Block in 2011 was his film debut. Something called Da Brick and then Becoming Human was his television debut in 2011. He was also on an episode of Law & Order UK, which I've never seen, in 2011. He was in four episodes of 24 Live Another Day, so at least he has Jack Bauer connection on DA. He has better TV credits than he does movie credits at this point, in my personal opinion. So Attack the Block, Junk Hearts, Half of a Yellow Sun, Imperial Dreams, Force Awakens, The Circle, Detroit, Last Jedi, Pacific Rim Uprising, Rise of Skywalker, Naked Singularity, Breaking, The Woman King, and They Cloned Tyrone last year.
I heard good things about that one.
Okay, well.
I haven't seen it, but I heard good things, I think.
Yeah. Science fiction comedy mystery film directed by his feature film directorial debut from screenplay he wrote with maybe. I can deal with clone sagas a lot easier than I can aliens coming to attack the Earth.
First of all, they weren't. Like first of all, sir, they were just coming to get their thing on. It was the humans that started it. Well, I mean, kind of.
All right, let's get into the plot of this thing. This movie, when I first started watching it and I saw Boyega as the Moses character, a few times in a few of his facial features that he was, I swear, have you seen Angel, right? The TV show?
The TV
Angel?
Show, yeah.
Okay, so you know who Charles Gunn is, right? J. August Richards. No. He's the black guy in that.
Okay. Let me put it this way. I'm aware that Angel, the series, exists. Okay, I don't really watch Angel. I watch Buffy.
Okay. Well, Angel is better.
Angel comes from Buffy, but I don't think all the characters were.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a character in there played by the actor J. August Richards, which he played something in Marvel somewhere. I forget where. I think he was in, what was that show that I hated? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's what it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the beginning of that show, just no.
It was pretty weak sauce.
I don't know what happened after the first season, but because I stopped watching after the first season. Anyway, certain facial expressions that Boyega does as the Moses character in this film reminded me of how J. August Richards played the character of Charles Gunn in Angel. They don't look the same, but just it just reminded me of, I'm like, hey, he's kind of like the way Gunn was in Angel for a little while. Anyway, so yeah, this movie.
So the premise is, it's, what is it, Christmas? Like, weirdly enough, like it's a holiday.
It's Guy Fawkes Night, whatever Guy Fawkes Night.
But it's also like related to some other holiday, because they mentioned it, and I didn't. But the point is, they're firing a lot of fireworks.
Yep.
So there's like explosions going on in the sky, and a young nurse is on her way home from a shift, and she gets mugged by these really scary kids. And Moses is the leader of the kids.
Yep.
And it's a real tense, scary scene. Like it's you know, and she makes a run for home, and they're kind of like laughing at her, and on their way home, we follow the kids after the mugging sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And on their way home, something falls from the sky and crashes into a car in front of them. And they're like, hey, the car's busted open. We can steal stuff from the car. Mm-hmm. So Moses gets into the car to steal stuff, and something inside the car attacks him and slashes his face and jumps out and runs away. And he decides he's going to get revenge on this thing.
Yep.
And this is like the quick setup. They track it down to a park, a play park, and they kill it. It's this real weird, ugly. It's like the alien from Aliens has a baby with a bunny. Like it's sort of rabbit like, but also it doesn't have like eyes like the alien does. And it's kind of like it has some hair, but not a lot. And so they're kind of proud of they killed an alien. And so they take it back to the block where they live. The block is a big square tenement building. I guess it's public housing or something in England.
Yeah, it feels very Demolition Man to me. It's not Demolition Man, but just the way that it's
set now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah,
or
no,
set but then. It's actually set like 10, 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah, and it feels very a combination of Demolition Man meet like the way that world is, meets the way that the 95 Judge Dredd world is, where everything in Mega City 1 is certain sections of the city and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Judge Dredd is a British thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's inspired by American. It was originally a satire of American Dirty Harry movies and stuff. It's weird. A lot of British stuff, it starts out as satire of American culture and becomes its own thing.
Yeah.
Warhammer's like that too. But anyway, so the kids are kind of like very proud of themselves. And it turns out that the nurse also lives in the block. She just lives on a different floor. And what happens is they notice they go up to the top floor is a penthouse suite, but it's also got like a special, it's kind of owned by this local crime lord named Hi Hat, but it's kind of run by this guy named Ron, who there's also like a weed farm in that penthouse. That's Hi Hat's weed farm. And it's Ron's weed room. And Ron is played by Edgar Wright. I may be getting the guy confused with he's the other guy in all the,
Ron is played by Nick Frost.
Nick Frost. I'm sorry. I apologize. He's in the Edgar Wright movies with Simon Pegg. He's the buddy in Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End. Yep.
Yeah. And then he's the kind of the normal guy in World's End. And then he's kind of the meek cop in Hot Fuzz. He's the local cop
to
Simon Pegg's outsider. And anyway, they set up. They kind of put the thing up there. They put the alien there. And we also get introduced to Hi Hat, who's the local crime lord, and he kind of wants Moses to join his crew. We meet there's two little kids that want to join the gang, Mayhem and Probs. That's not their real names. It's one of the best lines in the whole film is, "No one's gonna call you Mayhem if you act like a pussy." But then they notice out the window that there's more things falling to the ground. There's more things falling from the sky, crashing into the city.
Yeah.
More aliens. So they're like, oh, we're going to get them all. And we're going to, you know, kind of become famous for catching all these aliens. Problem is, these are different aliens. And they are basically big, black, bear-like creatures. And when I say black, like they literally say blacker than black. They are, they're almost like a void, like of light. They're black. And the only thing you can see, like there's this great moment where you think you see eyes, glowing blue eyes, but they're not eyes. They're its teeth. Their teeth glow blue. And there are great moments when you see the glow that you're like, oh, crap. And so what happens is the creatures come after the kids. And they make a run for it. They get split up. They kind of – there's a great sequence where they're running through the block. They're running through the tenement building. Going to each guy goes to his apartment and gets weapons, various weapons. One kid has to, like, walk his dog. And I forgot the dog got hurt. I don't like it when dogs get hurt. I was sad.
Yeah, dogs get hurt, no good.
Yeah, I know. That, no bueno, but it happened. So the rest of the movie is basically them, like these creatures are attacking the tenement building and specifically seem to be going after them. Moses actually gets caught by the cops and arrested, and he's in the van with the nurse, you know, who kind of, you know, said, hey, I was mugged by these kids. And then the van gets, or it's a van. Dude, I don't know. The police vehicle gets attacked by the creatures. So the nurse kind of gets dragged into the whole thing. One of the kids gets bitten by the creatures, so she's got to, like, tend his wounds. They find out that she lives in the block. And there's a moment late in the film. I thought it was earlier, but it's late in the film where Moses basically apologizes. He's like, if I had known you lived here, we wouldn't have done that. And she's like, but that makes it better?
Yeah.
I mean, at least he apologized.
At least, yeah, exactly.
And so the rest of the film is these creatures are attacking them. And they're trying to survive and fight back, and the cops are all over the place. And then they in the sequence with the van, with the police van, they crash into Hi-Hat's car. So Hi-Hat is furious, and he's after that. He's like, so now there's the crime lord that's after them, and then the whole mishmash of stuff that's going on, and they've got to like survive the night.
Yeah.
Was that an adequate summation of the film?
Pretty much, yeah. Surviving the night is pretty much a summary of the whole plot, essentially, because that's the point of the movie. But
that's the summation of like
90% of it. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean like a lot of movies, like Jurassic Park is Survive the Night.
Yeah, but so one of my notes is I don't know if this was worse on the gore than Temple of Doom or Jurassic Park or anything else we've covered to this
point. Oh, well, definitely worse than Jurassic Park.
I can do jump scares.
There's two scenes, and I felt really guilty.
No, don't.
When I saw them,
because
I know that you, I know that's a thing of yours. Like, and I didn't remember it being quite that gore. And they're only two scenes. They're like real,
and they're quick.
One really quick.
Yeah.
One of them kind of is a deliberate. Ew. I mean, that was like a
No,
it was deliberately gory and kind of went – it literally the shot went back to it to go, look, gore. And I was like, okay, whoops.
Oh, no, it's fine. Where is the – okay, so this is one thing I don't like about Wikipedia is they do not show me – they're not showing me the rating of this movie. What was this rated? PG-13, R? I don't even know.
I mean, it's a British film, so I have
– Yeah, it's a British film.
I'm so sorry that I exposed you to like foreign cultures.
No, you're not the only one that has exposed me to foreign cultures. Okay. But seriously, it's a good movie. It's an interesting movie. But at the same time, as I've kind of already mentioned, that it reminds me of various sections of other movies that I've already seen.
That's what I liked. Like what I liked about it was it reminded me of those kind of 80s movies that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gremlins, like Critters, you know, it was like those things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Rated R.
Okay, good. Probably that one scene, that overly gory scene that you mentioned is.
Well, there are two. There's the one when the Hi-Hat and the kids first literally run into each other. He's got like a bodyguard assistant guy, and one of the creatures shows up, and he goes to like confront it, and it jumps him and rips out his throat.
Yeah.
And then later, when Hi-Hat gets killed, of course, and it's actually like the scene before, come on, you got to admit the scene before that is like one of the best scenes in the film when he's got the gun pointed at the kids and he's standing in front of the window.
Yep.
He's not paying attention. And you see the window goes dark and there's all these lights and you know what that means.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was very cool.
And then he gets killed. He gets killed gorily. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying like one of those two scenes is probably why it got the
R. I'm sure both of them were. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Most likely.
But the kids also do drugs. Like the drugs is a big part of the film.
Yep.
They're like, I am not super familiar with English slang. There could be naughty words that I just didn't catch. Who knows?
Yeah, I liked the film. It was interesting. I think it was a nice. What I wrote here, and unfortunately, Wikipedia is going to contradict me in this, but I've been talking about this on this podcast and all the other GCRN podcasts and all the other things that I do lately. At most of this year in 2024, or last year in 2024, and this year in 2025, I'll continue to do so. But I've been saying I think Hollywood is trying its best, even though this film came out in 2011.
Yeah, 2011, and it was in Hollywood.
Okay, I know.
I'm doing that pointing my eyes, pointing at you thing. Like,
yes, yes, yes. I understand. Point is, movie making, the entirety of entertainment of film, the last, well, since 2008, everything has to be a film universe. Everything has to be Marvel-ish or Marvel-like or have 17 sequels, yada, 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 yada. Whereas we've covered several films over this last year or so where they're just a single film. This, to me, as I was watching it, beginning, middle, and end, plot, consequence, yada, 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 all that, this is perfect as a single film, does not need more to it.
I agree.
However.
What? Oh, you're about to tell me something I don't know, I think.
Nothing has happened yet, thank God, unless somebody just hasn't updated Wikipedia. In May of 2021, it was announced that Cornish would be writing and directing a sequel with Boyega set to reprise his role and produce. I don't think this film needs a sequel.
I mean, to be fair, there are very few films that are actually written to be longer stories that quote unquote need sequels. I think most sequels, even good ones, are unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends. I mean, like you mentioned, this reminds us of various the old 80s films that we grew up on and things like that. And everything else. And back in the 80s, it was kind of a Hollywood mainstay to have Nightmare on Elm Street 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well, yeah, the horror films, absolutely, because the horror films were just an excuse to print money. So, of course they kept those going.
Yeah, but, you know, there are other...
I know, but like I said, I'm sure, I don't know what the general consensus is on Die Hard 2, but you didn't need it. I don't know what the consensus is on the later John Wick films, but you don't need them. You don't need them though. Like John Wick is perfect on its own.
Well, I can tell you.
Okay.
So I'm going to say this, and my main position is Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It is a movie that takes place at Christmas time. It is
I have to say this now. This may be the rare time. Mark this down on your calendars, people. I agree 100% with Mr. Blanchard.
Okay. So here's the thing. There are 80s action movies. Okay. There are certain movies that incorporate Christmas to a point of it being a Christmas movie. And there are certain movies that events happen around Christmas time.
Yes.
He is going to see his family for Christmas. Does not mean that, and I'm perfectly fine with people who believe that, you know, incorrectly, that it is a Christmas movie. However, this year specifically, I don't know why this year specifically, but
there was a push.
There was a push, but also people are coming at me because I'm telling you right now, Die Hard 2 is a better Christmas movie than Die Hard. I love Die Hard 2. It was awesome. Yes, I agree. It probably wasn't needed because of the way Die Hard ended. You did not need a sequel at that point.
The movie itself literally lampshades the fact that things are happening again, which are highly unlikely. You know what I mean? She's like, how can this keep happening to us? Like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. But we wouldn't. So the only reason why I give Die Hard 2 a pass, and next summer, a buddy of mine and I, Kai Dragon Media, we're going to do a Christmas in July covering all 5 of the films, even though in my personal opinion, they stop at the 4th film because the 4th film is the last good one. Thank God they haven't made a 6th one, unfortunately.
Mr. Willis.
I don't think they can because of his health and all that, which sucks. But Die Hard 2, very underrated. John Wick. So before Karen passed, my late wife Karen, we watched, I think, all 3 movies. So my buddy Michael Powers, Booth Ninja, if he's still on Twitter, Blue Sky, wherever, my buddy Michael Powers turned me on to John Wick. And I've always loved Keanu Reeves in anything that he's done that I've seen. He's an amazing actor.
Have you seen Much Ado About Nothing?
I'm trying to remember.
The Shakespeare one.
Yeah, I got that part. I don't think
so. Well, Shakespeare titles for other films, but
yeah. But I'll probably catch it at some point next year, this year.
Let's just say your statement about you loved him in everything, that one would challenge it. He was badly miscast. He was badly miscast.
Let me rephrase. Like,
I know. If you haven't seen the film, then you don't have to, like, justify it.
Well, let me rephrase. He's good. I've enjoyed every film I've seen him in, so I'll phrase it that way.
Okay.
So Karen and I, so my buddy Michael Powers turned me on to this, and I love action movies, and John Wick, when I saw the trailer for the first film, I was like, oh, that's really cool. And my buddy Mike was like, it takes place all 3 films take place within blah, 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 blah. Because I found John Wick way, like, the 3rd movie was about to come out when I found out about John Wick.
Yeah, I mean, the first 2 movies had been out because I got a set with both of them. That's how I watched them.
Yep. And so Karen and I marathoned the first 2 movies, and I think we went to see the 3rd one in theaters. I could be wrong about that, but we saw all 3 movies within like a 2-day span or something. We loved them. I haven't seen the 4th one yet, but man, I agree in general that yes, it could have stopped at the first film.
I mean, my premise was, even if the sequels are good, you don't need them. That was my premise. And I think with John Wick especially, because everything is resolved at the end of that movie. And then the second movie kind of like, oh, well, we're going to complicate things. And then
yeah.
I think every movie since then has been complicating the complications. And it's not that I like this. I you know, honestly, the 2nd and 3rd movies are a little blurry in my head because, you know, mm-hmm. the 4th one, I remember the 4th one was really good. Like, I liked it. I thought it was well done. Did I need it? That's the whole point of this conversation is, do you need them? Like, was there anything at the end of the first John Wick that needed to be addressed as an audience member? As opposed to, I just like John Wick. I want to see him, you know, jack up more people. That's the impetus for like 90% of movie sequels. I like this guy. I like this monster. I like this thing. I want to see, you know, I want to see another giant great white shark attack Amity Island. I want to see more aliens eat people. I want Bruce Willis to fight more terrorists. I like this thing. I want more of it. It's there's a thing among nerd culture, and I think it's they say it's nerd culture, but I think it's all culture, which is more of the same, only different.
Yeah. You know, and again, it goes back to storytelling of adventure and wanting to see more. Like, did I want to see more Michael Knight after Voodoo Knight, which was the last episode of Knight Rider
series? That's a TV show. It's different because you've got a different adventure every week.
I get that, but I'm saying, like, if that was a movie, the storytelling of it, of how that story is told.
But you tell stories differently as movies than you do TV shows. They are completely different, but they're different because one has to be, always has to be open-ended.
Right.
Because you got to come back next week. That means, come back, you know, right. And that's one of the things that, like, we live in a weird time where we have what's called episodic storytelling. Yep. Like, that's unusual. Usually it was everything gets reset. That was a a joke in, I think, Crack Magazine about Magnum P.I. was that the girlfriend always got killed because he always had to be single at the beginning of the next episode. Like, everything always has to reset so we can tell the story again. There's very little development. And Knight Rider's a perfect example. So a movie can and should tell its own story, beginning, middle, and end, and be done and finished. It's a very rare situation where you tell a story that needs further embellishment to keep going. And this is going to sound weird because I love Star Wars. I do think Star Wars is the rare exception because, you know, as you hate the fact that Vader survived or whatever, but Vader's still out there. The Empire's still out there. Like they won a battle and the war's still going on. It would have been very unsatisfying in a way for to think that they never came back to that and never dealt with what happened. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Jaws, the shark blew up. We don't need another shark. With Gremlins, they got rid of the Gremlins. We don't need more Gremlins. You know, with Die Hard, he got rid of the terrorists. We don't need more terrorists.
But there are all. But that's the exception with the Die Hard movies. I will say that's
an exception.
It is an exception because there's always terrorists, Dave. There's terrorists everywhere.
Okay, but the same New York cop runs into them every time.
Well, that's his adventure. That's his adventure cycle. Oh.
I'm just saying.
He finds. Okay, so this is really getting into.
And again, the question is: are they good movies? The question is: are they necessary movies?
I have to look at the sequels to see if they're necessary.
Absolutely, it's a case by case basis.
Yeah, it's a case by case basis. But some sequels, I will say that I've seen in the past are not necessary, like. Perfect example. Jumping into cartoons, folks. I liked how Toy Story 3 ended. I was fine with them going over the edge of the lava and facing Lotso and everything else. And then, you know, the story, they do the hero thing, whatever else, and then they end up at Bonnie's. I was fine with that. I did not need a Toy Story 4.
I think... This is one of those things, the situation's open-ended, but did you need – and I want to be very on record on this. One of my top five all-time favorite movies is Toy Story 2.
Mm-hmm.
Was it necessary to tell? No. Because everything gets resolved at the end of that first movie.
Right.
You don't need – need is a strong word. Want, right. Yeah, I wanted a sequel. I don't even know that I wanted a sequel to Toy Story. Until I saw it, and then I loved it. I love that movie. That movie is so great. But is it necessary for the story to continue? And the answer is no. And I think that's one of the reasons sequels are usually not as good. Also, is because you've got to come up with a reason to keep telling the story, right?
Yeah.
You're there's always terrorists, and there's always a random New York City cop who's very vulnerable, but also indestructible at the same time, who just happens to keep his wife keeps getting just. That's as bad as there's always a great white shark threatening Amity Island or the Brody family in the later sequels because they got really, 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 really stupid.
I would not watch Jaws.
Oh, Jaws is so good.
No, I saw it. I've seen it, but I would probably not watch it again. If we ever did Jaws on this podcast, it stops right there. I would not
fight you on that.
So Attack of the Block,
that thing we're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, it came up because
it's
supposed
to be a conversation, man.
I liked the movie. I liked the experience. Yes, there were jump scare type moments like, oh, my God, look away for me, which is fine. I'm fine with the it didn't make me turn it off. It didn't make me not watch the rest of the movie.
I get that you know, it's one of those things you got to find out that I understand that this is not your kind of movie. I appreciate that you watched it and I'm glad that you liked it. And that's the main thing I got to say is you went out of your comfort zone, which you've done a couple times, which, you know, you did that
and I'm perfectly fine.
Did that with Temple of Doom.
Yeah. And I'm perfectly fine doing it because I want to experience new things. And there are certain things I will flat out refuse to do. But usually, most of the time, I'd like to think at this point in my life, at 44 years old, I'm sometimes closed-minded, but usually I try to keep an open mind on various things. And again, I did my research. Because if it's a movie I've never heard of or don't know, I will read the plot on Wikipedia before I ever watch it, just to make sure. And, you know, it is what it is. And like I said, that my first note, I didn't even bring up my first note, but I'm going to have to find the soundtrack for this at some point. I'm sure I can get it on Spotify somewhere, but... My first note, first two notes. Okay, I've never seen this, period, but I like the opening music, exclamation point. That when the film first starts and that whole first, that opening tune, that opening cue that they have, like that. I think that is what brought me into the movie and made me be like, okay, let's see what this is. And then I just shook my head like, really? He's going to chase the alien? Really? I know that's the plot. I know that's the point. But I had fun with this. It's an interesting movie. The music was done by Basement Jacks and Stephen Price. Is Basement Jacks and Stephen Price the exact same? No, okay. Basement Jacks, electronic music duo consisting of Felix Buxton and Simon Ratcliffe. Okay, cool. No, I like that. And again, when I'm watching movies and stuff, I watch the movie to get the experience of watching the movie. But if the music grabs me, I'm going to go seek it out afterwards at some point. What else should we? Samantha, little Miss Samantha in this.
The nurse, yeah.
The 13th Doctor. So there's your Doctor Who.
Is she the 13th Doctor?
Jodie Whittaker plays Samantha.
I didn't even make that connection.
Well, I looked her up and I'm like, because I had pulled up John Boyega and then I looked her up because I'm like, Jodie Whittaker. Okay, it's not Jodie Foster.
I didn't even catch her name in the credits. First. Wow.
Yeah. And I'm looking through her like as Wikipedia often does with actors and actresses. They start with the films, and I'm looking through the films, and I'm like, I don't recognize any of these film names whatsoever. I scroll down to the TV and I'm like, oh, she was the 13th Doctor in Doctor Who. Okay, now I recognize her name. Because when I saw her, because the film opens on her.
Yes.
When I saw her, I was like, wait a minute. Like, I had already seen that her name was in the credits and all that. And I'm like, okay, well, that's, she comes in on that, and I'm like, where, wait a minute, I've seen her someplace before. And I looked, I'm like, oh, right, Doctor Who reference, so many references and connections, but not connected, folks. That's the thing. This is not attached to any other film universe. It's its own damn film.
Well, I mean, it could be Doctor Who because he goes to all times and spaces and universes, but
that's true.
He or she or they, I guess.
Yep.
Now we live in 2024.
It is what it is. Whatever they decide to do. And so going through our questions, did the film keep our interest throughout?
Yes. I mean, the first time I watched it, yeah, I was on the edge of my seat. I was fascinated by it. The second time around, yeah. I mean, I was revisiting a film that you really like is mm-hmm. an interesting and scary process.
Mm-hmm.
Especially doing this because I had recommended it to you. Uh-huh. So it was like when I was rewatching RRR, I was like, I've recommended this film to a lot of people. Like, is it as good as I think it is? And, you know, and this one was like, I this is another one that I really push. I'm always like, people should watch this film. It's a good, especially if you like 80s creature features. If you like mm-hmm. Gremlins and Critters and Ghoulies and Aliens. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good example of that genre. The creatures are cool. The characters are smart. I mean, they're punk kids. They're relatively, you know, they do the best they can.
Yep.
I don't think there's any glaring. So yes, I was engaged watching this film. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Did you see this in theaters the first time?
No, okay. It was one of those things. Like I saw someone talking about, it was really good. And I tracked down the DVD. Like,
oh, very cool. Very cool. Very cool. Obviously, we've already said we would recommend this film to people. getting into the ratings system, I have to pull that tab up. Where'd that tab go? Disney Plus, Avengers Endgame, because I'm watching that for God knows how many times now. I'm on an Avengers kick lately, apparently.
That's fine. I do that. I do that a lot too.
All right.
Love Endgame, so.
Yeah.
Endgame's I love the first one. I love Endgame.
Yep. All right. Geek meter 0 to 5. What are we going to give Attack of the Block?
Okay. This is my kind of movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a 5. Like, I think it is a perfect example of this kind of movie. My only real, the gore, I don't consider it a criticism per se. I was concerned about your reaction because this is not your kind of movie.
Yeah.
So the gore is actually for these films, average to medium. Like it's
It's not out there, but it's more than Jurassic Park was.
Oh, Jurassic Park was a PG-13 movie that got enough static from parents as it was.
Yeah.
The only real sort of asterisk I would put on it is the accents are thick and it will take some time to get used to them. But it's a movie where like the dialogue isn't per se super important to begin with. Mm-hmm. Like you get it. They're kids. They're doing their kid stuff. Like they're not, there's not a lot of complex thoughts being expressed in this heavy dialogue, So my only thing is you got to kind of strap in and be prepared to get used to the thick accents. Yeah. Other than that, I think it's a great, fun monster movie, exemplar of its kind.
Mm-hmm. And normally I would not recommend this because I hate reading my television. But if you really need to know what they're saying, folks, there's always subtitles and captions. Because of the thick accents, if you can't get it, that's that's what technology is there for. For me, so I'm gonna give it a 3.5. I don't like that the dog died.
I don't like that either. I forgot that it happened.
Yeah, I don't like that. But 3.5 is good. The good stuff outweighs the bad stuff. There might be one amazing element or more, lots of fun moments that make the flaws easier to swallow. And again, the horror moments, like we've mentioned, are like lickety split instantaneously, 1 second. Like you could just do a quick jump or look away and you'd be fine. It's not like they're, standing there slashing through the entire stuff. It's gory, but it's not over gory, if that makes sense.
We've talked about two scenes. There's a third scene that's bloody, but like the gore has already happened.
Yes,
so it's actually a really cool scene. But there's blood, but like the there's no violence. Like the violence has happened off screen, and you see the after effects.
Yep.
So just in the interest of transparency.
Absolutely. All right, so he's giving it a 5. I'm giving it a 3.5. It's probably not one I would revisit just because I've had the experience of watching it and I liked it, I enjoyed it, but it's not one of those movies where I have the need to go back and rewatch it.
It's not your kind of – and this is not a criticism. It's not your kind of movie. And that's right. Well, no, but some people take that as a criticism. And it's
No.
Like, everybody's got their own tastes.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some podcast ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show right after this.
We are Two Mics, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello. Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan, serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times.
So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick?
So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer.
Subscribe to Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be like more angry, more fired up. We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at GeekCastRadio.com and YouTube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
Hello, everyone. This is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Each week, we review
the latest from Hollywood, California.
Well, yes, Brendan. We also
give top three lists.
Okay, yeah. Thanks again, Brendan. Additionally, you can hear us
talk other movie news, trailers, varying movie series, or other interesting film-related topics, and even rants and raves of the week.
On top of our main show, every Friday,
you can also hear our extra film podcasts.
You can listen to the In Session Film Podcast on
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at InSessionFilm.com. Listen to the In Session Film Podcast every Monday and Friday. Subscribe today and hear me verbally beat JD like a Cherokee drum.
No. That's not how this works, sir.
On the Simplistic Reviews Podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009. This is episode 123. This will be supposed to be the last episode of 2024, but I don't know if that's going to happen depending on when it's published, but it's supposed to be the last episode of 2024. Any final thoughts from you, sir, either on Attack of the Block or anything else we've done so far in 2023?
Geez, that's a big subject. I think it's a good film. I think, like you said, I wish John Boyega would get some good roles. I think he could be a huge star under the right circumstances. I think he was – like the one thing is the second rewatch kind of – I thought he didn't smile throughout the entire film. Like that was the thing. I remembered him not – until the end.
Uh-huh.
Spoiler alert. And then he has this huge smile and it's the fact that he smiles is amazing. He does, in fact, laugh and smile a little bit towards the beginning. But just it should, in a fair and just universe, it should have been a star making turn for John Boyega. And it did get him the Star Wars movies, which, you know, that was their fault for not. This is one of the reasons I don't like the sequel trilogy is because they did him dirty.
Yeah.
And they didn't really do much with Poe either. So, you know,
no.
Oscar Isaac, who has gone on to a slightly bigger career, which is. But point being, I like it. Again, I keep repeating myself. It's a classic 80s monster movie. I like, you know, ironically, when I keep getting the name mixed up in my head. When Last Jedi came out, the phrase subversion of expectations became like a meme.
Right.
It became a meme to mean disappointment. Like, you know. But this movie does subvert your expectations. Like right at the very beginning, you think these kids are monsters. They're the monsters. Yeah. They're bad. They're evil. They're scum. And they're the heroes at the end. And it subverts your expectations. I really think it's a good, I'm glad that you watched it. I'm glad that you liked it. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. And I think if your taste runs towards those kind of movies, you should check it out. because I think you will really like it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, folks, 2023. Holy crap.
24.
Wow. See, this, my time displacement, folks, is on full display. 2024, what a year. We got in so much stuff this year for Studio 2009. We had, oh man, just everything from beginning. We started with, which we're gonna get to next year, obviously. We started with Andor Season 1 in January. We had a couple of Gamer Origins because we launched the Gamer Origins at the end of 2023. So that's 30 questions all about playing video games. We did this new thing, Steve and I did the movie box office. So we looked at it where 40 years apart. So taking 1981 and comparing that to 2021 and how different the Hollywood landscape is or was in here in the U.S., we did more. We did the sequel trilogy. We did Mando. We did RRR with Temple of Doom, along with Raiders and Last Crusade. We're not doing the other two movies because they don't exist.
No.
We
you could probably talk me into Crystal Skull, but you'll never talk me into
Dial of Destiny. I won't even try. It's okay. We had the amazing pleasure of reading and then interviewing Craig Miller in his books with Star Wars and More Movie Memories.
Yes.
So that's awesome. We did that this year. We started the Columbo series, the Columbo Files, which we will be continuing into 2025. We covered The Firm. And yeah, folks, thank you for listening this year. Thank you for listening since the Studio 2009 podcast has been around since June 2nd of 2020. We launched this show during the pandemic.
Oh, God. Well,
thankfully that, you know, podcasting for 16 years, we just do it over the internet and we don't like, yeah. I don't understand those podcasters that have to have a radio studio type place where they all come in.
I get it.
But
there is something to an in-person conversation. The dynamic's a little, because, you know, even with us, like, you know, there is this moment where you kind of like, is he done talking? Can I speak? You know, there are cues you get in a physical environment with each other that you don't always get over the interwebs.
But it's coming up in 2025. I still have to work on the schedule, folks. But I do know we are going to probably do more 12 months of Star Wars because Skeleton Crew Season 1 will be done by the time we get to it.
He's good.
And then Andor, whenever – I think Andor comes up – was it March,
April? Must be April.
Okay, April.
I'm holding them to that.
Steve Megatron will be back with me when we talk about Drop Zone and Terminal Velocity, two 90s action films. We're then going to talk about two films from 2004 at some point with iRobot and Taxi. So there's that. Dave and I still have to do the Shawshank Redemption, so that's going to be the 130th episode. And then the rework for Columbo Season 2 will happen starting in episode 131. So, yeah, that's what's coming up, folks. All right. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content, as well as buying stuff from our store. If you'd like GCR and merch, just go to shop.geekcastradio.com. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use, Apple, Spotify, etc., etc. We are now on YouTube as well. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network, at It's Studio 2009, all one word for the show. I am at TFG and Mike. Dave doesn't do social media.
No.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out Studio 2009 Podcast over there, as well as doing something I haven't done in a while. You can also check out the Toy World Order fans group over there as well. I still have the link to that in every episode post that we do. So there is that. Next time is my buddy Kai is going to join me, and we're going to talk about Last year was the 2024, because like I said, I don't know if this is coming out in 2024 or 2025, but 2024 was the 20th anniversary of, or no, 25th, I'm sorry, 25th anniversary of a little film by Mike Judge, Office Space. So get your staplers ready, folks, for the next episode of the podcast. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
David Ripper.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.